Good evening, everyone. It is 7 o'clock. It's Wednesday night. And you are at the class on the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold. You've been coming to the class at this time, at this hour, for many years now. That's the point. Right? So, I don't know who's on. If you're actually on the chat on the news stream, go ahead and just say hello so we know that you're there, because it's not recording, it's not calibrating how many people are on at the moment properly.
Do a roll call?
Do a roll call. That's a good idea. Type that in, if you would, somebody. Do a roll call, which is say what your name is and where you're from. Because this is a good one to mark where you're at. So it's now is the time to do that. So mark it and mark it well, because there is a good reason to. Some of you may or may not have known, but Susan Kester passed away last night. Did you know that, Ivan?
I was told.
Okay. So I got a call around 11, almost 11 o'clock my time here in California from her husband, Dave. And Susan had been she had a lot of forethought in what she had done. First of all, she had called here a few years ago and asked what was going on, and she was told that she was coming in right at the end of the HBM classes. When was that, George? 4 years ago? Five years ago?
I would think so, yeah. A while.
Like
5 years
ago. 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she started coming online, and we were in the other modality at the time. And she came to virtually every single class. Every single Wednesday night for 5 years. And so one of the things she did in forethought of her situation is she wrote out a list of exactly what people should do when she died, precisely. So when Dave, her husband, called me, she had just passed away. And he had said that he had been with her during the evening, and she was very agitated. Very agitated. And so he was holding her. And gradually over time, she calmed down. And he felt, oh, good. I was able to help her calm down. He turned away to get some water, and he came back, and she had passed away. So he called me. I was the second or third person on the list. He had not called the nurse yet, hadn't called the authorities to figure out what to do. And he was weeping because of the loss of his friend. And so I got up, I started doing a few things, and I waited about a half hour and I called him back. Because when somebody of that magnitude passes away from your network, it leaves a particular hole. And part of the issue is for the people that are behind to also care for them. All right? So Susan had spent a lot of time working on this material, a great deal of time. And so I posted it on Facebook and a few other places. A lot of people responded. And in a couple of days, I think we're going to do a safari, the Labyrinth Readers Society Safari in Diablo 2, and run her character through that, which is something we've done with other people who have been this close and have worked this much on it. So this morning when I was on the chat that EJ does first thing in the morning, he mentioned a few things that were quite interesting, and also during the course of the night, people were starting to do readings during that as the night unfolded. And I think I heard at one point that he had said something like, she's surprised in a certain way that she's having a good go of it. Am I remembering this about right? And then he said, because she had put a lot of time into working with the American Book of the Dead. And so we have this, a lack, we believe we have a lack of a conception about what the Bardos are going to be like. But we've been sitting here reading this book for several years. And yet still in our mind, part of our mind, we believe, I don't know what it's going to be like. Oh? For 2,000, almost 1,500 years now, we were told what it was going to be like. But it's a different sets of perceptions that come up that have to key in. There's kind of a reaction of transformation that occurs if you're poised for it. And you poise yourself for it in a different way than the linear thinking that in which you live your life. Susan had put in a great deal of time. And we all remember the activity, the great activity that she, and the service that she did when she came to this class. Now here's something interesting. When we started, Simon Templar on?
Yes.
And Simon will remember when we were doing practical work on self, and so will George with Teresa Dietze. That was a whole cycle. And I think during that time, Simon had the role of reading. He was, I think he was on the phone at the time, and he'd read if there were comments on the log. Something changed, and he was no longer able to do that. And then Susan took it on. Now listen to this. Susan took it on. Now, so when she took it on, she would call me up and she'd complain. She says, you know what? I've got to read the chat. I'm trying to listen. I'm following in the book. And then people, it's really, really hard. So during the arc of that effort, she became graceful at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was able to do it. So because she put in a particular form of effort, she was paid back. And a couple people asked EJ, well, you know what? She just passed away last night. What should they do special on Wednesday night? And his answer was similar to the answer that to a couple of an intuition that I heard about a month ago from somebody about an exact situation. And the intuition that I had last night when I did readings for, which I'll mention in a minute, which is, you gotta be here. Now what does that mean? We have to be here and construct the space. And that's what we're doing right now. Whether you know it or not, we are also constructing a space. A lot of us come to the class and we say, oh, well, I'm here because I really want to learn about this. And, what does this phrase mean when I open the book? And that's one thing. And that's correct. That's called work on self. But if you are there with a particular form of presence in the class as you are tonight, then you are creating an invocational space that is a landmark for somebody to find. Because I've been talking for a long time now about setting, marking places within yourself through your sensing mechanism, marking places so that you understand when you're there and when you've got somewhere. So when you mark those spaces, you'll know how to come back to those spaces. Susan has put in 5 years, virtually every single Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, she did something. And because we're hosting this space again tonight, and Pat, though she's late from the start, has the ability to just blend into the space because she is a skilled voyager. So understand that in spite of the fact that you're here to participate in the class, you're also doing something by creating a space. Now, so what would we normally do on a night like this? What would we normally do? What did we do last week? What did we do last week? Were you here?
Yes.
You were?
Yes.
Excellent. And do you recall what we were doing last week?
I do.
Ah. So we have a skilled navigator with us, too, about to indicate where we are on the open ocean upon which we voyage. Now, I want to make a correction to the class last week. Okay?
Please.
And it's something that...
Please do.
That I think will be useful for Susan as well. If you recall last week I said, oh look, we've found ourselves in the future. Do you remember that weird what I
yes.
was saying like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought about it later, I thought that was wrong. You know, we're not in the future. But I realized why I made that mistake. Because I remembered, I accessed the memory I was having of having been through those Bardo spaces and what it was like and knowing that I would be able to set markers for myself. So somehow I was doing that from the future, but my mind was just mixed up between that past and the now, and it just wasn't quite clear to me the past and the future.
Well, vocabulary can be complicated and sometimes completely ineffectual. So we forgive you.
So, and the other thing that will start to happen as you allow yourself, listen to this, as you allow yourself to be guided by your sensing mechanism, which we're working on every single day, as you're guiding yourself through your sensing mechanism, then the shadows and the veils between things like the past and the present. Like, you know, it's like we're talking about yesterday. Well, which yesterday? You know, to me, it's a continuum. And some yesterdays are like that. They're just as fresh as the yesterday when I didn't go out to get ice cream. And so we will allow ourselves to shimmer between the two worlds. Be okay with that. Susan's okay with it. So at about 11:30 last night, I opened my altar up. I had it closed,
mm-hmm.
and I had it draped. It was ready to go. was really, really ready to go. I had to replace a couple of pictures, but other than that, I was ready to go. I lit the incense, I lit the candle, rang the bell, and I started doing the clear light reading for Susan Kester. And I had this particular picture of hers, and I was a few sentences into the clear light. For me, I the first word is devastating. Now, I am experiencing the clear light of an objective reality. Get it? She did. And she beamed. It was just a beam. She was like, she was just smiling. And it was like, thank God that she was relieved of that body that she was working with for all these many months now. And she was flying. And it was a good thing. It was a really, really good thing. So there's a lot going on around this. There's a lot of individuals. Carmen Nortiana is putting together a reading circle, and they're doing it at 4:30 in the morning, California time. And is that in another time too, or just that time? 3:30 is another thing. Just did it this morning. So they're going to do the technical 49-day reading. I know there's a 49-day orb, right?
Yes.
There's a 49-day orb.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do the 49 days of reading. So these are individuals that are going to devote themselves to it, and they're really smart, because what they're doing is there's going to be a group of them. That means if one person can't make it, the group continues. So that's the point about us tonight. There's a lot of people that aren't here tonight, but the group formed. That's the point. You are not the group. You individually do not create the group. The group is formed, and we have enough presence that we're able to invoke the group into this space, and the teaching cycle is there for us to reveal to the extent that we are able, and we are able.
Yeah, I wanted to just speak about that. When you first started this evening, I was hearing you down the road there as the gate was being opened, and I was just coming right on in, and I recalled some words from the past, if we're going to use those phraseologies from Meadow Vista, which have to do with how a group forms an intention. And what we have in this structure that David has maintained for lo these many years is we have a format that already has a foundation to it, because it says, place your attention for the period of time on the instructions as you receive them and as you work with this material, and come together once a week. That is a structure. It is a formulation. It doesn't require, in a certain way, anything other than your attendance to it. The other part of that is, once you actually place yourself in attendance, is if you can bring your presence into the present, invoking your presence into the present. That will draw all of your past into the now. Then you can be here.
So we're not going to really do anything different, because we're going to go right on with where we should be, and you're going to be surprised when we open the chambers that we're going to. you're going to knock your socks off. But I wanted to say hello to Susan in a certain way. Now, I would like everybody that is on the television or whatever to, do you have a copy of the clear light reading with you? Actually, actively say, yes, I do. or no, I don't?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. And people should write it, into their words.
Put it on the chat.
There's about a minute of delay. So I know that that's the case. You don't have a copy with you.
Okay, yes,
that's
he,
good.
He has.
And you, can you recall it too? And here's what we're going to do. So we're just going to say hello to Susan, and we're going to read the Clear Light three times. We're not skilled enough in a certain way to read it together as one voice. We can get there, but we're not there at the moment. So here's how we're going to do it. We're going to start with Ivan, then Pat, and then I'll do it the third time. And when the individual is intoning the clear light reading, we'll say it almost virtually sub-audibly. Okay, so as Ivan's reading it, I'm going to be reading along with him. Just, I'm going to present it to, in a sense, to Susan. So I'm not going to, you're not going to hear my voice, and you shouldn't. Does everybody seem to have it?
Yes.
Everybody says they have it? Okay, do you understand how we're going to do this then? That means, is Rocky on, for instance? So Rocky is a good example. Here's somebody that clearly understands what we're talking about. He will then, he'll be at his place in
Edmonton.
And he's going to be saying, he'll be reading along with us and saying hello to Susan in that way. Okay? Make sense? How's that sound?
Follow and contribute to my motion.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So
we start out by dedicating.
So tell me, just wait till you're ready. Tell me when you're ready. Ivan, when you're ready. Is everybody? Oh. Pardon? Okay, they have it. They're ready. So go ahead and get us started, Ivan, then. Open the space.
Now I am experiencing the clear light of objective reality. Nothing ever. My present sense of self, Voyager, is in reality void qualities. I remember myself as the Voyager, whose deepest nature is the clear light itself. I am one. There is no I am the voidness of the void, eternal, uncreated, neither real. All that I have been conscious of is my own play. Dancing, swirling, infinite extension, endless, endless, the absolute, change. Inseparable from the change. I know now that this
reading number 4 confronting the clear light. Now, I am experiencing clear light of objective reality. Nothing is happening. Nothing ever has happened or ever will happen. My present sense of self, the Voyager, is in reality the void itself, having no qualities or characteristics. I remember myself as the Voyager, whose deepest nature is the clear light itself. I am one. There is no other. I am the voidness of the void, the eternal unborn, the uncreated, neither real nor unreal. All that I have been conscious of is my own play of consciousness, a dance of light, the swirling patterns of light in infinite extension, endless endlessness, the absolute beyond change, existence, reality. I, the Voyager, am inseparable from the clear light. I cannot be born, die, exist, change. I know now that this is my true nature.
Reading number 4, confronting clear light. Now I am experiencing the clear light of objective reality. Nothing is happening. Nothing ever has happened or ever will happen. My present sense of self, the Voyager, is in reality the void itself, having no qualities or characteristics. I remember myself as the Voyager, whose deepest nature is the clear light itself. I am one. There is no other. I am the voidness of the void, the eternal unborn, the uncreated, neither real nor unreal. All that I have been conscious of is my own play of consciousness, a dance of light, the swirling patterns of light in infinite extension, endless, endless, the the absolute beyond change, existence, reality. I, the Voyager, am inseparable from the clear light. I cannot be born, die, exist, or change. I know now that this is my true nature.
This completes this reading of Confronting the Clear Light for Susan Kester. Susan Kester. Susan Kester.
So we move on now to where we left off last week. We finished the 31st chamber. It was a very dynamic class for me. It was a very dynamic understanding of the instruction manual that we got. And, you know, I had about 2 months ago, I had a conversation with Susan when she was pretty comfortable. I mean, what do you mean comfortable? With the fact that she was going to pass away. She knew she was going to die soon. The doctor had said before Christmas, and he was right. And that she was, you know, I said, well, how do you become ready? And we had this long conversation, and where we got to was that you got what you got. You're as ready as you are ready right now. That's what you bring to the game, right?
Can't be any other way.
Can't be any other way. So surrender to that. There's a certain form of acquiescence that says, here I am. This is what I got, and that's what I'm going to bring to the game, right? I mean, maybe you're going to play with some big boys and stuff's going to happen and you're not sure. And doesn't matter. You got what you got. That's what you're bringing to the game. And if you start to sense that and you understand how these chambers work, then you're going to see the fact that this is an instruction manual. It's an instruction manual. And it says, oh, that. Well, when that happens, this. The last week we had a whole tribe of instructions that came to us when this particular event occurred, calling I'm supposed to remember the beloved, right?
Yes.
So now we move into 32, and the 32nd chamber says, it may have become apparent to me. I love that. It just cracks me up every time. The Voyager is learning by now that there are three different types of perception, of awareness in the macro dimensions, and then the instruction reminds us where we've been.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through the first phase, or the first stage, and now the second stage. Now I'm in the third stage. And then the instruction is saying, oh, they're different. Because the first two, though there was a lot of lights and a lot of energy, you got what you saw.
Mm-hmm. Not tricked. It's not camouflaged.
There wasn't any camouflage. It just said, boom, here's this cleansing red light.
Mm-hmm.
That's in fact what it was, because at that point, that situation actually was going on. However, in the third stage, we're told, got to be careful, buddy. Got to be careful, because there's subterfuge.
Right. They're very deliberately created to hide or disguise whatever is there.
So, check it out. So then it says, the third stage, creating the absence of the creation,
mm-hmm.
I can't trust the visions as they appear. And then to jump ahead a little bit, in order to avoid birth, I will have to either recognize anything I see is in fact a luminous void or nothing. That means whatever you see
Everything.
Can you see it as a luminous void?
Yeah.
If you can't, you better be able to decode the real meaning behind each of the images.
Yeah, you've got a choice. You can know exactly what the meaning of everything is in the whole universe, all creation, or...
The default is...
Recognize everything as the shining, luminous voidness of the void.
So this is like a stop at the information center. In
poor
the,
guys.
This particular chamber is a stop, like if you're in New York City and you're trying to figure out how do I get to Brooklyn,
yes.
And you just can't figure these darn trains out, you stop at the information and they say, oh, I see. You've just been to stage one and stage two.
Yeah.
In stage three here, here's the map. Here's how to read the map.
Yeah.
That's all it's doing. It's just saying, careful. And here's the solution. Right?
Yes. And there are actually two solutions offered.
And the more I read this darn thing, the more I look and I think, my goodness, we're given choice after choice after choice.
Well, it's the nature of the universe to continually to provide whatever it is that you think that you want. Without end.
And so we make ourselves ready for the, you know, the great ambush as it is. But then when you see that you're more prepared than you're prepared. You've been doing a lot of work and own that work. You own it by stepping outside of your normal life and you go, no, I'm not a carpenter. I'm a voyager who's doing some carpenting today.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not a musician. I'm a voyager who happens to be doing music today.
Now, there's another part of this. Time for a side story?
Please.
There's another part of this that I got reminded of this last week, and I'm going to divert just a small bit. I don't recall exactly what the stimulus for it was, but at some point there was an evening in this past seven cycles, or however you want to think of them, where I recalled extensively and explicitly a certain experience that I had where the dynamic of choice, as in go down this path, was laid out extremely clearly, visibly clearly, you know. And I recall, we're sitting in the bathtub, I recall that I knew it would not make any difference as long as I agreed to encounter fully whatever took place. That was 1968.
Okay, that's really good.
And what I got from this...
I'm underlining the phrase.
Yeah.
That I'm willing to confront whatever it is that comes up.
Yeah, so in any path that I choose. And what was significant for me this week about that is that it was a reminder of myself to myself about this quality of, what do you want to call it, maybe a slightly objectivity or something like that. You don't have the identification with the actions or the activity that are occurring because you know you've been, you know, acting and doing and all that stuff. And not really the significant part. I thought I would share that.
Let's go ahead and take a couple of comments.
Oh, please.
There's none real, no comments now, David.
Well, there were comments from before relating to the readings for Susan.
Yes.
I thought I should relay
yes.
those. Rocky says, if you are an ashram, we started the complete cycle of daily readings for Susan today. Auntie says we did an afternoon reading also in the ashram. Auntie Matter. And Rocky says, regarding this reading that we just did, that he was going to read it in the ashram also.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Good work. So, just underline what Pat said was very subtle, okay? It's very subtle. It's going to be worth listening to it again. But it's very accurate and needed as a voyager, because we're going to see exact evidence of it in the next chamber.
Yeah.
All right? It's exact evidence. I think that's what her sensing was telling us. Here now we look at this. And I'm saying this because this is where we left off when we were working last time on Tuesday. Then it goes, the 33rd chamber, I begin to feel as if I'm being pushed from behind toward various spaces and objects by a steady and compelling force. So there's your key, okay? It doesn't say that you are, it says I'm beginning to feel. So as we learn our way through the bardas, we have different triggers, and because you may or may not know it at the time, but you don't have a body, so it's a little different, but you can begin to feel like you're being pushed from behind by a compelling force. When that occurs, okay?
Guess what?
When that occurs, then I feel like I'm being hunted. Gorillas and animals and insane blue-eyed, red-haired clowns. Now, here's the key for me. I will feel that I have to escape. I'll feel that I have to escape, that I have to find some place in which to hide. Boy, if you take those two elements together, I feel like I'm being pushed from behind. And at that moment, stuff happens. Like I'm about to be eaten by a weird gorilla,
mm-hmm.
And then, oh, I know the answer to that. I'll go hide. Where are we? Where are we in our arc here? We're in the arc of rebirth. What's going to happen if you rush to hide somewhere? You go back to illusion. If I know the visualizations, I can transform the hunter into the beneficent and friendly beloved. If I know the visualizations, I can transform. In all phenomena, a simple apparition without any real nature of its own, other than what I've given power to it. Boy, that's a trick, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a very classic statement, I think, in any tradition you go walking into. You know, there is this point of separation between being compelled and being able to observe without compulsion. You know, you see
the
observe without compulsion.
Okay.
You see the hunter. The hunter is there. To you, that is a hunter. And you can transform the hunter into the friendly beloved of the macro dimension. No matter what, it says seeing all phenomena as apparition. Everything.
So, you heard this story in the news about this hostage situation in Norman, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy apparently just chose a random building, and he goes in there with a gun,
mm-hmm.
starts shooting, doesn't shoot anyone, and virtually everybody left except this one young woman who was a paralegal. And whatever the mechanism was, she wound up in this objective observation of what was going on.
Yeah.
And created an atmosphere such that the fellow with a gun was actually asking her permission, is, do you think it's okay if I smoke? Things like that. And she wound up talking him down because she was able to go into the place with objective observation, mm-hmm. which is a Bardo habit that she will have forever. Okay? Guy apparently was just an ex-vet, had no job, couldn't find a job, extreme frustration, and apparently it ended without injury to anybody this time. But now where are we? So I want to hide, but I know I can transform. I'll let the vision dissolve slowly. Here's an interesting, from the edges inward.
Yeah, the formulation is so beautiful.
I just love the poetry.
Oh, if you just, you know, any event that you can recall this occurring in, that's the one you want to keep using as your practice mode. Because if it comes from the edges in, you know, you really have the opportunity to be, you know, the distant observer, you know. You're not like, you're not pulled into this thing in the middle where it's all happening. No, it's dissolving from the edges. It's a very good instruction. I will allow. I've got the power. I have the capacity. I have the ability. I'll let the vision dissolve slowly from the edges inward and still in control, meditate on what is left after it is gone.
The Voyager has a unique opportunity here. It would be, the instruction is, here's all this stuff that can happen, and here's the tools that you have, once again.
Yes.
Stuff that can happen and tools that you can utilize. Now, before I go into the last part of this, which is very interesting. So, during the day, when you go during the day, you'll have feelings like you're being pushed from behind.
We could call that our life.
In regular life, you're going to have that feeling of,
I've got to get this done.
And then you do what naturally becomes natural to the machine, which is, I will look for a place to
hide. Please.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
It's way too scary.
But doesn't that make sense to the machine?
Yeah.
It's cold outside. You just,
it's dark.
You know,
it's
you
scary.
Feel like, oh gosh, am
I'm
I going to get this
hunted.
Done? And being hunted, there's this gorilla thing. And, so I'm going to go hide.
Yeah.
So that's one alternative to it. But what if tomorrow when you feel this pressure, and you feel this pressure of a wind karmically pushing you, compelled from behind, and you feel it, and those same fight or flight things come up, and they are there, and then you read the next paragraph.
If I know the visualizations, I can transform the hunter into the beneficent and friendly beloved of the macro dimensions, seeing all phenomena as simple apparition without any real nature of its own other than the power I give it.
But can you do that tomorrow? Because I guarantee you this is going to occur to you tomorrow at one level or another, either at a bone-crunching level that you're going to see the bloody gorilla thing, or it's going to be just a subtle thing, and you go, oh, I'll just go hide while they're doing that. It's going to be on some continuum of that will occur.
Let's use the verb hide to be disengage, fall asleep a little bit.
I'm gonna back
away from entering. Yeah.
What's the term that you used?
Turtle up, beautiful.
Dan, Lars Horizon says, oh, I just turtle up.
Turtle up.
I love that. I think that is so cool. So that's what his machine does when this pressure comes up, this pushing from behind, I feel, he just turtles up.
Yeah.
I love it. So now, because we've spoken it, we can place our transformative attention on it, and it'll begin to change. Can't change it directly, but you can place your attention on it, because then what does it do? It, from the edges. It dissolves from the edges inward.
It dissolves.
So allow that to happen. Is this guy just whistling Dixie here, blowing smoke? No, because you can test this. You can test it in the deep waters. And I tell you, you can. Okay?
After the dissolution has occurred of the vision that you were allowing to be slowly dissolved, and you meditate on what is left, then there is an emergency attention concentration, otherwise known as prayer, for closing the womb door.
Well, we read that.
Yeah.
Dan's got some.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Rocky says, it's dark and there's wolves out there. And Simon Templar, what examples in daily life can describe the situation? Could you give some?
Deadlines.
Deadlines.
Fears, concerns, interactions with others, especially that you feel are, you know, either not putting you in a good light or...
Your car breaks down, huh?
Oh.
Not wanting to confront the boss.
Yeah, accidents, being sick, anything where things don't work.
Maybe you have a physical thing, too.
Yeah.
You might have a physical bad back or knee or something, and you feel... So you just, you know, I'll go to bed. Put the covers over my head. One way or another, that's the way it will manifest. It'll be something like that. Or you're going to be willing to get up, get out into the cold, go out, sit in front of this thing right here.
Mm.
Right? So each person has to apply their attention to their life and see if you can see events like this. See how it might manifest in you and for you.
One thing about this particular description is it's a general statement. It's not a personal statement.
Right.
It says, I'm being pushed from behind toward various spaces or objects by a steady and compelling force. A force is something, you could just call it, you know, laws of nature. A force is something over which, generally, we feel we do not have control. So anything that your machine is experiencing as being not in control can be seen to be a steady and compelling.
Steady and compelling. Notice your response to things and then say, oh, is this might be a steady and compelling force that's pressing me.
Yeah.
That's the example. That's something for you to work with. And if it's something that occurs every single day, you know, like with your neighbor or something, then deal with it. Then you have the tools to deal with it. But the author is telling us, oh, none of that worked? Oh, wait a minute. None of that stuff worked.
You couldn't
figure it out.
Are you unable, and now you're stuck?
You're stuck.
And you're just, you know, you're trying to claw yourself back from that gaping hole that's coming faster and faster towards you?
So you pull out your backpack, unload it, and there at the very bottom of the backpack is the emergency kit.
Yeah, that's it.
It's the emergency kit that you pull out when it's time to pull out the emergency kit.
And you're going to apply it. You know, it's first aid.
How practiced are you in this, then? And we're not quite ready to close. So I'm going to go ahead and... Ivan, why don't you read us through that, okay?
Read this.
The last part.
Please.
Now that the state of becoming has happened, the concentration of thought and striving to maintain the results of good karma close the womb door. And without resistance, I do not enter. This thought and effort, I abandon desire, let go of jealousy, and meditate the guide and his consort.
We have an opportunity. The key here is that to start recognizing when you need to apply the tools called closing the womb door. Now, the reason that we're doing that is because in the sleep of the machine, it habitually reacts and does things. It will seek to hide. The Voyager is a strategist, and the Voyager says, where shall I best achieve my rebirth? Because all those other chambers, I wasn't able to take pure liberation for whatever reason. And I'm here now. So now it's a strategy not to get sucked into the little places to hide. So we have a chance and we have methodology before us on how to do that. You have one more comment?
First of all, Rocky says, Diablo 2 provides simulation of confronting horrors. And Simon Templar is asking, okay, but in fact we are talking about how we react to those events. Is that the key? Is it that we procrastinate or avoid? Is it that we panic?
All of them.
And then... Panda says, Simon, it appears that avoidance would qualify as a form of hiding or disengagement.
Thank you.
That's why Pat confronts whatever comes forward and then works with it. If you're not confronting it, it's a form of hiding.
Yes.
And then Simon Templar is saying, I am trying to get a more defined image of what is the key of the situation.
The key
is that you're going to hide, that you react to things by hiding. And that is a habit, a Bardo habit. You can call it whatever you want, but eventually it's going to be a Bardo habit that says when this form of pressure comes, you will hide. Rather than acting as a strategist and saying, oh no, I need to close the womb door right now. Okay? So observe your machine, observe yourself what happens during the day, and see if you can discern for yourself in your daily life how this thing operates. This is very, very distinct here.
We will have time next time to dwell and ponder a little more.
We'll go more
the,
into it.
On the attention concentration emergency kit for closing the womb door. But just as a suggestion for you, if you are going to be doing any of these shared group readings with and for Susan, then you can, to yourself, set up the situation where, as you read, each word is one that you do not have to have any particular association with, and you can allow each word to take you as it will, wherever it will go, and you can practice by using this statement here about how to close the womb door and say that aloud to yourself. And if I may suggest even further, another little aspect of this that's very helpful, without getting too metaphysical about it, read this to yourself, looking at yourself in the mirror while you read.
Great technique. One of the things that, one of the reasons that Susan, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but that she seems to be doing so well is that she spent a lot of time reading these to others and being read to.
Yes.
She took advantage of the fact that other people could read to her as a voyager. And it got a little deeper, a little more under her skin, so she understood that what it's going to be like when this force comes behind you, and then it triggers and goes, oh, there's one because I'm trying to hide right now.
Yes.
And, oh, well, look, I can do these other things instead. So if you have somebody to read with, do so, because I know that she read with several people and was read to by several people. She took advantage of the opportunity. That's on, you know, if it's something you'd like to do, take a shot at it. So, anyway, that's we might continue, I think, on this next week a little bit. But I think we, I want the final comments, please.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay, first Rocky says, don't panic, which is reference to the Hitchhiker's Guide. See, Dad. For me, going out of the house to the grocery store or walking down the street seems to create this chamber.
Okay, good.
David Fowler.
Yeah, so there's an exact example. That's like great first, that's great observation. So he's so tuned to it, he knows, because we're going to go to the store, you know, and it's going to be there for me too. It's always there, and it's more and more subtle that you pick it up. Great. I'm glad that he brought up just a very mundane example, because that's how it works. Bang on. Good one.
Simon Templer says, I get it. Thank you for the clarification. Very useful.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Pianjo, hiding as a barter strategy seems to be a good way to get a Motel 6 room on the planet, not the Waldorf.
All right. On the planet and not the Waldorf.
Well put.
That's it.
And we have another one. Hand the phone.
Well, I just want to say that as I sit here and have not participated in this easily for years, but I would like people to imagine what it'd be like if they were a soul right now who had just passed and were not involved in this kind of exercise and were basically alone.
That's a great comment, Jim. And it's a great comment because the the chambers, as we read through them, tell us exactly what happens. They go and they hide. They find a place to hide. They get frightened, and then they get angry, and then they go into the hell dimension.
Yeah.
It's precisely what happens. It tells us that, too. So we get to have compassion for our fellow voyagers as well. We can sit with them and sometimes help them get a hint of it, to the extent we're able to. Other times, all we're able to do is hold a space like this.
Yes.
And hold a space like this because our fellow voyagers are out there and they're looking to see if we're here tonight. And we were here tonight.
And that's another aspect of this. This is a space-holding device, all of its own.
Okay. So we have exact examples of it coming to life and being used by our dear friend.
Yes.
Again, next week.